The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride. Monarch Nation, welcome back to another Victory Sunday for Old Dominion football. They beat ULM 31-6 on the road. They're now bowl eligible, 6-3 on the year. It's a fantastic time to be an ODU football fan. So let's talk about it. First up, welcome to the show, Justice. Thanks for filling in for Aaron today.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for inviting me back once again. Glad to do it.
So Aaron is on the road, so I'm going to show you this video real quick that he recorded for us.
Fellas, sorry I can't be on tonight, but you know, Lisa got me an awesome present. We're headed to the Commanders game, but it wasn't 41-29 or 49-21 or whatever I thought it was going to be, but it was still pretty much an ass whooping. So 6-3, bowl eligible, on our way to 9-3. Have fun tonight, fellas. We'll see you guys soon. Go Monarchs.
All right. So, Justice, obviously, this game yesterday didn't ever really felt like ULM was in it at all.
No.
we kind of took control, punched them in the mouth early, and just kind of controlled it for the rest of the game. What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday?
Well, we didn't – I mean, ULM is not a good team. And they run the ball well. They play good defense. It's kind of their MO. We were able to shut them down. They have virtually no passing game. We got a win, but there still were things that need to be cleaned up, right? We once again saw the special teams weren't so special. You know, Colton, you know, we by my count, I think we missed, what, three touchdowns for sure. The one to Dawson Johnson. We had a bomb to Ja'Cory. I think there was another one to Naeem. So there were still things that, like, we got the win, which is the important thing. But there are still things to work on, and we're going to need to work on those when we play. We have a good Troy team. Now, Troy did lose yesterday, but they're a decent team. They're not as bad as Louisiana Monroe, so we're going to need to clean those things up moving forward.
Yeah, I will say I was impressed with their running backs. The way they ran the ball, they were really decisive in hitting the hole, like the gaps. And it just seemed like a smooth operation the way they were running the ball. So it's not surprising that they're a good running team, but their passing game was a journey for them. Like,
it's been that way for a couple of years for them.
Yeah, but I also got to give our defense a lot of credit. They played fantastic yesterday. They were put into some tough positions, and they continued to fight back. Like that Colton fumble put them in a really bad spot. And almost, what, two plays later, they force Mario Easterly forces a fumble, gets the ball back for us.
Yeah,
I was just really impressed with our defense yesterday.
Yeah, they deserved a shutout. I mean, unfortunately, special teams kind of messed that up for us. But, you're absolutely right. The defense played one of their better games of the year. Zach Palmer-Smith, the running back you're talking about, he's a pretty good running back. He was at FCS Richmond last year. I want to say he ran for like 1,200, maybe 1,400 yards a year ago. A lot of people assumed he was going to be their starter going into the year, but it was Braylon McReynolds. But, you know, the game yesterday kind of looked like they're going back. They're going towards Zach Palmer-Smith. He outgained and outcarried Braylon McReynolds. But, yeah, the running game is what they're known for, right? Ahmad Hardy from a year ago, he's the leading rusher in the country, right? Leading the SEC for sure.
So yeah, he's been fantastic this season.
Selling point for them.
So you mentioned the shutout. It's been a long time. I think you said it yesterday. Was it 2017?
2017, we beat Charlotte 6-0, and I want to say it was like a Wednesday or Thursday night game in Conference USA.
So, yeah, it's a bummer we didn't pull it off yesterday, but in the notes that Eric Bohannon puts together for Harry's recap articles – that was the fourth time this season we've held an opponent to 7 points or less, and it's an OD record. So we literally have our best defense we've ever had at Old Dominion this season.
Yeah. We had some lapses, right, you know, a couple games ago, but they've certainly played well in the majority of games this year. and good to see, right? Because, you know, we can't always rely on the offense to have to always outscore the opponent all the time.
And that defensive performance against Coastal looks better every week.
Well, Coastal has another quarterback now.
So I know.
He's much more of a run threat. It does look good on paper. I mean, their current quarterback, he's a run first guy. He's not so great of a passer, man, but he can run the ball.
All right. So I think one of the biggest stories yesterday was our kicking. Obviously, Riley Callahan has struggled this year. And after missing a 31-yarder, which never looked like it had a shot at going in, he gets replaced on the next extra point by Nathaniel Eichner, who's been at ODU for a few years now, but this was his first real opportunity to show what he's got. This is his first field goal in PAT he's made since 2022 when he was with Alabama State.
Well, it's good. Glad we had someone else, you know, another option.
Long time to wait, get rewarded though. But he did his job well, and hopefully we figure something out there moving forward, because leave that when we play a team like Troy. We can't leave points off the board like that.
Yeah, they got, you know, not quite 2 weeks, but a week and a little more than a week and a half to get things figured out. Hopefully they can work on it, and whatever's going on with Riley, you just assume it's a mental thing, right, with kickers. Hopefully he can get past it and come back better.
Absolutely. Zion Frank gets his first interception of his career yesterday. Mario Easterly, that was his first career forced fumble. And then Haynes recovering it, that's his first recovery. Just good things happening up and down the roster yesterday. It was good to see Trey Brown and Ja'Cory back at it. Every time I see them play, I'm more impressed that we have them here.
Yeah, that's one of the calls that you and I got right in the offseason about how good this wide receiver core was going to be. We got some wrong too, but that is one that we got right.
This O-line group being stalwarts, all five starting every game, they've kind of come through and shown that they're a really good group for the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
And we're lucky, considering the amount of injuries we do have, it's crazy that the O-line room really hasn't been impacted like a lot of other units on the team.
Yeah, especially like the linebacker group. That's like probably the one that's been hit the hardest, I think.
Yeah, something I noticed yesterday was Mario Thompson was dressed out.
Yeah,
I don't think he took a snap.
No, and I think he was listed as questionable maybe on the – or game time decision, I think, on the availability report.
On the first one, he was. On the first one, he was on Thursday. And then he was not on the Saturday game day one. I mean, Koa still out.
We saw his brother Seth get a sack yesterday.
Seth played awesome yesterday. He played so well that they were making comparisons to
Polamalu.
Hall of Famers. Troy Polamalu, and talking about he should be in a head and shoulders commercial. Because he was all over the place.
Yeah,
I'm just really happy for him to be able to have this season, and kind of if he could continue to play like this and go out like this, it's going to be a great senior season for him and last kind of run in college football.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of crazy to think, like, you know, his story, right? Going from, you know, JMU to, you know, coaching change and not playing college football, and, you know, getting a call and joining the ODU team like with a week. You know, week before the season started last year, and then now he's your starting middle linebacker.
Yeah, and he's been fantastic. As have Jaleel Colbreth, had a heck of a game yesterday. He made some huge plays.
Yep, he was a heat-seeking missile, man. He was like, you know, his hair was on fire. He was all over the field.
Yeah, the only thing I saw yesterday that concerned me defensively was that Botros injury. That looked pretty – that did not look ideal.
Yeah. And he just got back, right? He missed last week's game. I mean, the positive news is at least he was able to walk off under his own power, so to speak. So that's a good thing. Yeah. Chris Forbes had a good game yesterday too, two sacks.
So you said Chris Forbes?
Yeah, Chris Forbes had two sacks yesterday. So That has to be, I would assume, a high for him, right? I don't know
if he's ever
had a game where he's had two sacks.
The amount of times that we've had guys have two sacks ever at Old Dominion is pretty low, at least in recent memory.
I mean, I'm looking at PFF. I didn't check the official stats, but it looks like we had 8 sacks on the game.
No, there was only 5.
PFF credited us with 8, so.
I think there was a couple half sacks in there, and maybe they just give him credit for a full.
Yeah, because PFF has Jaleel with 2, but ESPN has him with 1, Seth with 1. Same with Chris Forbes. ESPN only shows him with 1.
He did have 2 tackles for loss, though.
Yeah.
So maybe PFF saw those plays a little bit differently.
Yeah, because PFF does do their own box score, if you will, their own scoring.
Yeah.
Still 5 sacks, pretty good.
Yeah, 5 sacks, a lot of pressures yesterday. We had Armenta kind of – he was not comfortable at any point in this game. And you can see it with these passing numbers, 12 for 20 for 150 yards, really short passes essentially all game long.
I mean, there's 2 top receivers basically were 2 40-yard passes. That's where the yard – you know, that's where – 2/3 of the yardage came from 2 passes.
Yeah, it's not great. I was really happy to see Hargrove get that first touchdown run where he ran over that dude.
Yeah.
Really living up to his nickname yesterday. But I wish Dawson had looked over his other shoulder for the jump pass because I don't know if it would have been successful because there was a safety coming in on him very quickly.
Yeah.
But – it was cool to see them try it with a tight end again, because we haven't seen that since Pat Conroy.
Yeah, I remember in the South Alabama or the Arkansas State game last year, the last game of the year, him and Quinn.
Yeah, we've been running with running backs all season long, so it was good to see them try it with a tight end and try to get them more involved. That pass, you mentioned it already, that pass to Dawson in the end zone.
The slant.
It was just a little bit lower.
Yeah, it's a little bit tall. I mean, that seemed like, for the most part, that's where Colton was missing yesterday. He's a little bit high, a little long.
Yeah, he seemed a little amped up, but it was great to see his running ability kind of return because he was the last couple games he's ran the ball well, but he didn't have that explosiveness to pull away from the defense, and we saw it yesterday a couple times, if not for AR's holding. That was kind of unnecessary. He has a lot more running yards on the day.
Well, that one holding. I was thinking of the blocking. That was the AR touchdown that should have been. But yeah, he did. The last couple of weeks, he looked like, I don't know, maybe hesitated a little bit more in terms of calling his own number, so to speak. I mean, the one thing I want to see the running game get back to like how it was the first, I don't know, 4 weeks or so. It's been a bit of a struggle the last couple of weeks. You know, Traquan Jones has gone from someone that was, you know, electric dynamite to, you know, when he does, he has his opportunities been limited. And when he does get opportunities, he's not done much with them. We talked about it and you mentioned it yesterday about sometimes the running backs seem to choose the wrong path. And hopefully we can get back to having a strong running game other than Colton, right? Where we have a complimentary running game with the running backs.
Yeah, I think the entire operation yesterday with zone reads was a little off. You'd see it where maybe Colton hands the ball off and he should have kept, or maybe he hands it off and the play is right. He should be handing it off, but they go a gap when they should be trying to kick it outside. Just weird things like that going on throughout the game where it kind of restricted how many rushing yards we did get. But I mean, what, we had 180 yards rushing yesterday? That's
160.
Well, that's with the sack, right?
ESPN 160.
Yeah, because we had 20 loss. Okay, so, all right. That includes the sack, though.
Yeah.
Because Colton had 15 yards lost yesterday for a net of 72. But 3 tutties. He was good with his own read near the end zone. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We have that down. I mean, the one thing like I would like to see, like, we have one that we've talked about before. We have one of the most explosive offenses in the country. Sometimes we need to be able to sustain things just to kind of, you know, give the defense a rest, you know, run some clock, etc. And those, I feel like those are still areas we need to improve, and the running game is a big part of that.
Well, so the third quarter, we seem to really kind of try to control the clock. And we did a good job of that, having possession of the ball for 10 minutes in the third quarter. It actually makes up more than two-thirds of our total minutes of time of possession we had yesterday, because we only had 26, and 10 were in the third quarter. So we didn't score in the third quarter, but I think we did a good job of, like, kind of keeping our defense off the field so they can get some rest and recovery. And then going to the – basically, did Quinn get the whole fourth quarter? It felt like he was in there.
It was. If not, it was close to it, yeah.
Because, I mean, we weren't on the field offensively much at all in the fourth.
I'm trying to see, that last touchdown probably would have been the last time. Yeah, so that was early in the Hargrove touchdown. I think after that is when we saw Quinn. Yeah. Yeah, looking at the play-by-play, it looks like that's when we saw Quinn after that. So he got almost the, 8 minutes or so.
Yeah. So no scoring in the third quarter, which some people are calling out, saying we're too conservative. But when you have you were in control of the game the entire game. I don't know if it really made sense to run up the score on them when we have a chance to kind of conserve energy and get ready for the bye week so we can really prepare for Troy.
Yeah, and we, like you said, there was missed opportunities in the game, right? We talked about those three touchdowns that should have been that weren't. And I want to say, like, that one to Ja'Cory, I feel like, was in the third quarter. Maybe I'm wrong, but that long pass to Ja'Cory. But, yeah, I mean, there's always things you can nitpick, right? But here we are. It's kind of crazy. Here we are nitpicking a win when we became bowl eligible. And we were talking about this last night, like, the fastest ever. It's only the fastest ever because of the dates, right? It happened the same time previously, the same week. But nonetheless, with still three games to go, we're already bowl eligible. And, you know, we could be looking at a 9-10-win season possibly if we went out. So, you know, that'd be the best season since, 2016?
Yeah, which is the last time we made a bowl as quickly.
Right, yeah.
But I think you looked it up. It was like 4 days earlier.
It was November 5th. Was the when we won the sixth game, so it was the same week, you know, but the season started later, so right. Date wise it was early, but essentially it's the same.
Yeah, so I mean, our two most successful seasons ever, kind of on the same kind of trend line, where if we had just beaten one or two teams more, it would have been a special season where we're winning conference championships, but. Still an amazing season and a step in the right direction for Old Dominion football.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like some people make the mistake of, you can be happy and, like, excited for what we've done, but also understand, like, hey, what could have been. Like, those two things don't necessarily have to be mutually exclusive, right? You know, so, like, to your point, like, you know, we've made a bowl game in 3 of 5 seasons under Coach Ronnie. Does that mean things are perfect? No, but that's still something to be celebrated, right? And I think sometimes folks get so wrapped around the negative, they can't see the positive, and vice versa, right? Some people get wrapped around the positive and don't see the faults, but anyway.
Yeah, I just think if you look at our history of what we've done in football, only 2 years in FBS where we didn't have to sweat a bowl game in week 13. So that tells you this is one of two great seasons we've had for Old Dominion football, and that's something that's worth being happy with.
And celebrating, right?
Right. You can be frustrated that we had two missed opportunities this year, but that shouldn't stop you from being excited for the progress this team has made this year.
if nothing else, in today's world of college football, you have to enjoy the now. Because especially at the G5 level, like, it's, you know, you're going to see a lot of your stars leave and go play somewhere else. And that's just, unfortunately, that's the way of college football. So you have to enjoy what you have while you have it. Otherwise, you're just always going to be miserable.
Absolutely. All right. I don't know if there's too much more to talk about with this ULM game, because, I mean, it was a pretty straightforward game of we just controlled it from the beginning to the end. We should have won. You can talk about the could-haves, should-haves of whether we should have won more by more, whether we should have shut them out. But all in all, we went to ULM and we took care of business.
First time in Louisiana.
In a situation that a lot of people warn you about, like, we had JMU fans hitting us up like, that place is just so weird. A lot of bad things happen.
I mean, they beat JMU last year at Monroe.
And they beat Arkansas State there this year, who just beat Troy, right?
Right. So, Arkansas State, I guess Southern Miss is probably in the lead in the West, right? They're undefeated, I think. But Arkansas State and Troy each have one loss now.
Yeah, and one of those is because of Monroe. But, again, like, I don't know what it is about us with Louisiana teams, but we seem to have their number. Like, we're 1-0 against the Cajuns, 1-0 against Monroe now, and then we have an amazing record against Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I guess we like playing in Louisiana.
Yeah, absolutely. The like I said, the one thing, like, I hope we can work on, because it's been a problem for the last few games before Troy, is special teams. That's that's the one area that needs the most improvement as we move on through the rest of the season, because it's reared its head a few times now.
Yeah, and it's what, two things yesterday that should have been cleaned up. We get a blocked punt, and then we have that really bad missed field goal early in the game.
Yeah,
it seems like every game you have like at least like multiple things from special teams that need to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
And that's not great, because it's one part of the game that you shouldn't have to worry this much about. And right. It's our biggest concern this season.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've gone from fumbling the punts to not making field goals. And then, you know, yesterday we saw the block, which I need to go back and watch that play, man. But, like, there was multiple guys that looked like to me that could have gotten that block. So it almost just feels like we blew a blocking assignment or something.
A lot of blocking assignments.
Yeah, a lot of assignments. Or they did something we weren't expecting. Or, yeah, I'd have to go back and look. But yeah.
I also wonder how different this game would have been had Brian Vincent had a kicker he could call on.
Yeah, because they went for it a lot on fourth down because they didn't have a kicker.
Right, which made me feel a little bit better about our special teams position. Because at least we have a guy that could go in there and make extra points right now, right?
Right, right.
But they don't even – they have zero confidence in their guy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to have open tryouts with the soccer team this week, maybe.
So they've already had the open tryouts on campus. I was talking about this earlier this week. But Dusty from Warhawk Report, who's awesome, he hooked us up interviewing Ricky pregame and postgame yesterday. But his goal is to have the best women's soccer player play for them.
Okay.
ULM just won the West in the Sun Belt. They have the best record in the Sun Belt. They're the one seed. So they have a legit shot at going to the NCAA tournament. Thinking that their best player should be kicking field goals is maybe not the smartest idea, but would be pretty cool to see.
We saw, was it Vanderbilt that did it, that had the women's soccer player kicking?
Yeah, I think she did a kickoff, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if she ever got a field goal opportunity.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There's one thing we need to talk about yesterday that we haven't, and it's the camera work.
Oh, my gosh. I was trying to put that behind me, man. That was, like, I feel like, you know, a 10-year-old kid could have done, but it was bad. It was atrocious. It was atrocious.
Like, how hard is it to follow the ball?
And the messed up thing is, it wasn't like it was play action, where, like, they got, they, you know, legitimately thought the running back had the ball. There was no play action. They still, like, yeah, it was bad, man. That was some of the worst camera work I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think it should, at least for most Old Dominion fans, make them feel a little bit better about our presentation, because that was brutal. Like, how many plays did we just completely miss? Whether, like,
there's at least three that I can think of where, like, you're like, and it was on both sides, right? It's like, well, did he catch the ball? We don't know if he caught the ball because we can't see.
And then we got to add in the announcers
with the penalties.
The penalties, they just, like, they didn't even mention them or put the, usually you see the penalty thing on the screen, yeah. And they got it later in the game, but early in the game we're watching on in a bar and we don't know what, like, we're just,
it goes all from like fourth and one to first and five. You're like, well, what just happened?
Yeah, like,
it happened for UL Monroe too, the same thing where they got a first and five. You're like, well, what just happened?
Yeah, you got to do better, Monroe.
The production was bad.
That's something that's easy to control. Like,
yeah,
it's just effort and consistency. Being bad at football is a different story because you got to get recruits in there. You got to get the right coaches in there. But having a one good cameraman on the sideline, that can't be that hard to find.
Right. Didn't someone joke yesterday, like, were they judging the cameraman about, like, who had the least amount of beers or something out of, you know, tailgate? It was bad. That was bad.
All right. I think this is a good time to take our break. Shout out Afterglow. Bring in the Fade Gary, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of the season.
What's up, Monarch fans? Gary here with your Fade Gary picks for week 11. We went 1-2 last week, bringing our season record to 14-17-2. Going to start you out with what should be a really great game on Saturday, taking Missouri +7 at home against Texas A&M. I imagine that number is going to get down to 6.5, so make sure to line shop and find the best available line. I feel like this is a game that Texas A&M loses every year, something they shouldn't on the road. I will take Missouri and throw a little bit on the money line for the Tigers as well. Second game, we're going to West Virginia -6 at home against Colorado. The Buffs are a corpse. If you watch them play on Saturday, they gave little effort. There was a lot of bad stuff happening on the sideline. Mountaineers coming off a big high of beating Houston. I'll take the Nears -6 at home. Final game, another what should have been a great matchup until the bottom fell out for Penn State. Indiana at Penn State, taking over 49.5. Penn State has been over in four of their last five games. Same for Indiana. And Indiana may score this by themselves. So take the over. See if you can get Indiana under two touchdowns somewhere. This should be a bloodbath in Happy Valley. Good luck this weekend. Go Monarchs.
All right. Speaking of Afterglow, I want to thank everybody that came to the watch party yesterday. It was a fantastic time spending the afternoon watching that beatdown with all of you. It's pretty cool to see how many people are coming back every watch party to support and the brewery and Old Dominion football, because we didn't know what the turnouts would be for these, and the Facebook replies aren't that great, so it's anyone's guess how many people are going to show up each week. And each time we get a great turnout and yeah, awesome fans to get to talk football with.
I mean, it helps winning helps, right? Like, you got stuff like bowl eligibility on the line, etc. It helps. I don't know. I feel like there was probably like 40-ish people on the inside yesterday, and there was another group outside too. So, yeah, it was a great turnout.
Yeah, and I've really taken a shine to that El Monarch, man. It's
yes, El Monarch. It's definitely my favorite Monarch beer, if you will. I'm partial to the Mother Fluffer, but yeah, I love El Monarch. It's really good. It's an awesome can design. I hope Josh turns it into a t-shirt like he did with the original Monarch, because it's a pretty sweet can design. But yeah, El Monarch. I would say it's, after Mother Fluffer, I like El Monarch. It's a great beer. It's a light. It's a Mexican lager. Got a little bit of a lime flavor. And the interesting thing with the lime flavor is it's not like artificial lime flavoring or even lime flavoring. It's the hops that Josh used that produced that lime, which is just, I don't know, pretty cool.
Yeah, I will definitely talk to him this week about the t-shirt, because we can make that happen.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet design. Yeah.
So let's first look at where the Sunbelt standings are. Oh, yeah, it's a great design. I got a couple in my mini fridge right now cooling off for me to have after we finish recording tonight. But
I got the Kolsch Ricky too. The Kolsch Ricky.
Well, let me take that down so people can see.
Kolsch Ricky, pretty cool can design as well. But they have the El Monarch on tap and in 4-packs. Kolsch Ricky, I think, is only in 4-packs right now. So get it while supplies last.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much. He's maybe going to need to do another run of the Kolsch Rickys because of how popular it's been.
Yeah, I don't know. There's probably, 24 packs left or so, I would guess, based on what was in the refrigerator yesterday.
Yep. All right. So this week's a bye week, so it's all about looking forward for us. So let's first look at the conference standings. Obviously, we're going to need a lot of help when it comes to if we have any shot at playing in this conference championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty slim. I mean, JMU has to lose 3 games in a row. I personally don't see that happening based on the way they're playing. But nonetheless, I mean, the more wins we can get, the better we're going to look for a bowl game, right?
Yeah, and we need to – I think this year there's a lot of – with all of the additions to the Conference USA, there's probably fewer bowl opportunities than prior years. Yeah. So we need to win as many games as we can to make sure we're at the front of that list when it comes to the Sun Belt.
Yeah, because I don't think 6 wins is like, you know, there's been years past where like 6 wins and you're automatically at a bowl. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I think there's going to be more teams than there are bowl spots.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other thing I was looking at, our remaining schedule and how we compare on PFF. And I rank them by overall score. And you can see when it comes to PFF, they like us versus all these teams.
Yeah. I mean, I think all those games are going to be hard, I think, for different reasons, right? I mean, Georgia Southern, defensively, they're not good. They are not good. But that offense can show up, you know, when they need to. With JC French, they have a really good receiver, Camden Brown. He's a transfer from Auburn. I'd have to look at the numbers, but he's probably the leading receiver in the Sun Belt off the top of my head. Either him or Ted Hurst, who's at Georgia State, one of those two guys. So they're more than capable on offense for Georgia Southern. And Georgia State, they found a quarterback in Cameron Brown. Defensively, they're not good, but Cameron Brown's a dual threat. And, you know, dual threat quarterbacks give us some trouble. Troy, on the other hand, they play solid defense. Their quarterback, their starting quarterback, Goose Crowder, they lost him, I don't know, week 2 or 3. And Tucker Kilcrease came in, and he looked really, really bad the first couple games. But he's played really well the last, you know, I didn't see the game yesterday, so I don't know what happened yesterday. But prior to yesterday, Tucker Kilcrease was playing well for the Trojans. And it's going to be a challenge, right? I'm pretty sure both of us are coming off of a bye, right? Troy's not playing this week, and so we both have, I don't know, 10, 12 days, whatever it is, to prepare for a Thursday night game on ESPN. And I'm sure Troy, both teams are going to be jacked. It's a lot at stake for Troy. I mean, Troy loses that game, they're probably out of the running to win the West.
Yeah, so you asked about Camden Brown and where he is in the receiving numbers for the Sun Belt. He's currently in 4th behind Bo Sparks of Texas State,
okay,
Ted Hurst of Georgia State, and Devin Voisin of South Alabama. Our own Trey Brown is 5th, right behind him. And then Naeem is 7th, and Ja'Cory is 8th in yardage. crazy to see we're really the only team in the top 10 with two, with more than one guy in the top 10 in receiving yards. And we have three.
Georgia Southern, Camden Brown is their passing game. Their other receiver, Josh Dallas, has been hurt since, I don't know, week two or three. And so he's getting targeted a lot. And the same with Georgia State with Ted Hurst, right? They're you know, they're giving those guys, they're their best players. They're giving those guys the ball. We have three guys that you can make an argument are our best receivers. So they're like, you know, that works well for us, because if you shut one guy down, we got two others.
Yeah, Georgia Southern does have Dalen Cobb and Marcus Sanders Jr. playing pretty well this year as well. They're both around 300 yards receiving. And it looks like Javon Robinson for Georgia State is playing good as the second receiver with Ted Hurst. But, yeah, we have an embarrassment of riches in the receiver room this year. And I'm trying to just appreciate it while we have it, because there were some plays yesterday that they made where they really –
Yeah, Trey Brown made quite a few yesterday. I mean, he's made quite a few all year, but Trey made some impressive catches yesterday. They all have.
Yeah, they all have. But looking at this schedule, it really does shape up really well for us to go 9-3 if we take care of business and protect the football.
I mean, the Georgia Southern trip will be a little tricky, right, just because it's not an easy place to get to, and I don't know, Statesboro, but the other two games at home, like, you know, the last time we played Thursday night on ESPN, we demolished Georgia Southern, right? I mean, that was probably our biggest win, you know, from a point standpoint last year. Kind of killed Georgia Southern's hopes of winning the Sun Belt East. So hopefully we can get some of that same magic. We got the drone show again. So if you missed it last year, you need to come, man. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. ESPN's going to be there.
And it's Toys for Tots.
Yes.
So bring your toys for the tots. We want to make that a success this year, just as we have the last few years. We just want to keep building on it. And we've gotten this special opportunity where this game feels huge. It's going to be on national television, ESPN Sports Center. Like you said, it's going to be filming from Kauffman Mall from 2 to 3 p.m. We want to – I think if you're an ODU fan that loves ODU, like the way that we do, you should try to take a half day that day and get out there and get in the crowd, because the better showing we have for that might open their eyes up for the future when they're picking game day locations.
Absolutely. I know me and a buddy are going to, you know, we will be there for ESPN. I'm trying to think of a sign to make. I don't know yet, but I'll come up with something, I guess.
Yeah, I've heard some ideas on signs that are both good and bad, but
yeah, I'm not going to make one of those signs, but
yeah. Yeah, this season, I don't know, Ricky after bye week too. You got to add that factor in.
Yep.
Because when you give him extra time to prepare, his teams always seem to be a step above where they usually play at. And this team's already pretty good without the rest and extra preparation. So I don't know if I'd want to be a Troy fan for that game, because it's obviously they have to make the trip. It's going to be a huge day for Old Dominion football if we do this right.
Yeah, I mean, it's Military Appreciation Week. Hopefully we get a large turnout. Hopefully I assume ODU is probably going to do something with the local military to get them there in force. So yeah, it should be a great time. Like I said, the drone show, ESPN, prime time, all the above. Yeah. That's something I'm really looking forward to.
And I know there's a flyover scheduled, because we've scheduled them for every game of the year, but the furloughs have made that impossible to go forward with. Because the FAA isn't working, like the FAA can't approve them right now either. So it's not just a military thing. It's all the government is stopping those flyovers. But hopefully for all of the government employees that are in the area, we're all hoping they get a solution and get you guys paid.
And maybe they'll have the same promotion again. They had like they had for the last game. You know, I'm sure if they do, you guys will tweet it out, but where they gave away four tickets to federal employees. While you're looking that up, one thing I wanted to talk about, me and you talked about it when it happened, but at the Monday press conference, you know, and I think even on the show with Mark Davis, the preview this week, they talked about it. And that was Ricky's disdain for Milk Duds. Like he was adamant on Monday at the press conference that Milk Duds was like the worst candy ever. I don't agree with that take. I'm kind of indifferent. I don't mind Milk Duds. It's just chocolate and caramel, so it doesn't really bother me. Part of his argument of why they were so bad was the packaging, because they're in the little boxes. I don't know. Like, to me, like, I like it because it's easier to get into. But I don't know. Like, we had this conversation. What do you think the worst Halloween candy is, Mike?
It's candy corn. I don't know how anyone could like it. It tastes like a candle dipped in like sugar.
I like candy corn. I'm a candy corn fan, so
I don't know. It's not for me.
The worst candy to me is black licorice. That's like awful.
Yeah, that's up there. All right, but I do have the flyover information here. So the flyover will be approximately 16:45. It's going to coincide with the beginning of the team walk, and it will go over Kauffman Mall. So this is VFA 106. These are fighter jets. So hopefully we can get these people back, get the government back to full operation, so we can get this flyover. Because that, to have just a cool flyer, it would also just put so it's a nice finishing touch on the day. Like, you have ESPN on campus. You're doing the Sports Center thing. We got Toys for Tots. We're supposed to have, like, tanks like we did last year on campus for the kids. We have a Thursday night football game where we're on national television. We're going to have the drone show. A flyover would just be that cherry on top to make it just, like, an amazing day.
Yeah.
And so hopefully these politicians can stop and just get back to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
All right. Yeah. So how are you going to spend your bye week Saturday?
Well, I'm going to be in Charlotte at the dirt track races, the World of Outlaws World Finals. I leave Tuesday, so I'll be at dirt track racing Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. And then, yeah, so that's I'm glad we have a bye week, because I'm not missing a game to go see the dirt track.
Nice. I will be catching up on the honey-do list, because football season seems to make that kind of get longer and longer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be working on that, maybe get some golf in like I did today. This weather has been fantastic. So,
Other than the rain. Like, the rain forced me to have to cut my grass today because I couldn't cut it all last week, right? So I missed the majority of the early games to take care of that. But, yeah.
But, yeah, Aaron will be back next week, and we'll be ready to preview Troy, get you all ready for that Thursday night game. Thank you so much for joining us today, Justice. I really appreciate you filling in for Aaron.
No problem. Anytime.
All right. So let's close this out with predicting how these last 3 weeks will go.
Okay. I think we're going to go 3-0. I, you know, score-wise, it's kind of early to kind of make predictions on that, but I think we go 3-0, and I even make it what I would like to see as a fan from a bowl game. I would love to see us. I know some people aren't going to like this necessarily, the location, but I want to see us in Myrtle Beach against East Carolina. That's what I want to see. Like, you know, both fan bases can drive to that game. There'd be a lot of turnout. So that would be my hope. And I guess if I had to make an official prediction, just because I want it to happen, that would be my prediction.
Well, I saw that projected this week, so I would like that one as well. It makes it. We got a lot of traveling this year for ODU sports. Me and Aaron have, and you included. An easy bowl trip would be nice.
Yes.
It's not like we can go back to Charlotte, even though that was a great trip, despite the result. But I don't know. The only other one I would like to play in is maybe that one in Annapolis, but I don't think the Sun Belt has a
Italian. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, people say they want to go to Boca. Yeah. I mean, those are cool. New Orleans, they're all cool locations, but like, they all involve a flight. Right. And so just an extra cost. And so, you know, Myrtle Beach, I mean, if you're really adventurous, you can drive back and forth in the same day. And so that's kind of, you know, hopefully, like, I mean, I would think the Myrtle Beach Bowl would love that scenario, right? To be able to get ODU and East Carolina, because, like, you're probably talking, they're probably going to get, you know, 15,000 fans there, you know, between the two schools, which is, it feels like, other than like maybe the college football playoffs or some of the bigger bowls, that's kind of an unheard of, you know, amount of people.
Yeah. And I'm thinking back to the last time we were down there when we played Tulsa. Yeah. Tulsa probably brought like 1,000 fans, if that.
Yeah.
And we brought what? Probably 8,000 fans.
5 to 7. Yeah. It was a lot. I mean, it was the same way though for the Western Kentucky game. Like, I mean, like ODU easily outnumbered the Hilltoppers, you know, in Charlotte too.
In our two American Bowl games, we've done very well with attendance.
Yes. But we didn't win the game.
No.
You know,
but we won the tailgate.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We won both tailgates, man. They were, both of those alumni tailgates were out of beer with like 2 hours to go. I don't, like, hopefully they either price it differently where they, because I asked someone, they said, well, we price like 2 beers per person. There's no, you can't do that. Like, you're going to give them 4 hours. Like, they're going to drink more than 2 beers per person.
Yeah.
Charlotte was great. They went and got some more. And so, you know, but I remember at one point at the Myrtle Beach game, I ended up drinking wine because they didn't have any more beer.
I think we just went into the stadium at that point. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us today. Thanks for tuning in, Monarch fans. I'm predicting a 3-0 record as well. And I want to jump on Justice's bandwagon of us playing ECU in Myrtle Beach. That would be a lot of fun. Thank you all again for tuning in. We are the Monarchists. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.